Have your Bibles. I'll ask you to open them to 2 John, and I'll begin reading in verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds. This morning, for a little while, I want to draw your attention to this subject, abiding in the doctrine of Christ. In verse 7, we find that many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. There's a lot of people today who do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And those that do believe he came in the flesh simply say, well, he was a good man. He was a good teacher. But he was not God. But dear brethren, I want you to know that this morning we are, according to the words of the Apostle John, to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And part of that doctrine is that he came in the flesh. You know, when you go back to the Old Testament, over 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, we had the old prophet Isaiah being able to write for us in Isaiah chapter 7 and in verse 14. And he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. When you turn over to the New Testament, you find again that in Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 23, after Joseph, who was a just man, intended to put away Mary, his wife, whom he thought at that time had been unfaithful to him, an angel appeared to him to tell him what was going on. And after that, listen to what the angel says. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. That's why the apostle writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 could say, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. We believe in the incarnation, that God came down to this earth in the form of a little baby in human flesh, and we rejoice in that doctrine. The incarnation, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That because he was born of a virgin, there was no sin that passed to him. And he could be the sinless Lamb of God. God in his great wisdom brought that to pass. And if you'll turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, you'll find there in the 14th verse these words. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Again, in the fourth chapter of this same letter, he writes in the 14th verse and says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have one there, dear brethren and sisters, who knows what it was to walk along the dusty shores of this life, to suffer great hardships, to thirst, to hunger, to be in pain. And I love that shortest little verse of the Bible in the 11th chapter of the book of John, where he could come out to the grave of Lazarus, his friend. You know, I love to read that 12th chapter of John, that right before my friends, he was to go up to Jerusalem, he came to the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, whom he dearly loved. He spent a lot of time with them, and he loved to be in their home. He loved Martha, he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. And when Lazarus died, and Martha and Mary's hearts were broken, I tell you, my friends, Jesus Christ could be touched with the feelings of their infirmities. I love that shortest little verse in the Bible that simply says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Even though he knew what he was about to do in calling Lazarus forth, he still wept. He could weep with them because he knew how to sympathize. We have one on the throne of glory this morning who hears your cries and hears my feeble prayers, and he knows how to answer them and how to feel with you and sympathize with you because he came in the flesh. Yes, he came in the flesh, and he knows, my friends, how to weep with you and how to sympathize with you and how he could be your sin bearer. Listen, in that second chapter of 1 Peter, Peter could write in the 24th verse and say, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Dear brethren, because he came in the flesh, he had a body which could hang on the accursed tree, and all my sins and all your sins be placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice in the truth this morning, and the Apostle John is telling us, Some people want to steal this truth away from you. But he says, abide in it. Stand in it. Endure in it. Remain in it. Continue in it. And don't let anybody rob you of this truth. He came in the flesh. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9, there again the Apostle John is writing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he says concerning this glorious doctrine. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of men. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in Buddha. What? Not Buddha? Zoroaster. The many, many gods that Brother Zach can tell you that the, and Brother Guna himself, that the Hindu people have, how many million gods do they have? They have so many. But it's not the God of the Hindus. The record that God has given to you, and the record that God has given to me concerning His Son, is that eternal life is abiding in one and one only, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, to be able to have the Son is to have eternal life. Listen now. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might, with some flimsy little hope, hope you have eternal life. No, bless God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God has given us a record of His Son, and that record is that He is eternal life. When you go back to the Old Testament, you find the old prophet Micah saying in Micah chapter 5 in verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be littlest among the littlest in Judah, Micah 5 and 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be littlest among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God. I love that scripture in Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's forever the same because He's eternal. My friends, when this old world is folded up as a vesture and as a garment, He will remain the same, for His years shall never know an end. He is the eternal God. When you go, dear brethren, again to that Old Testament scripture of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 40. Hold your finger on that for a moment, though. I want to go, first of all, to John chapter 8 and verse 24. In John 8 and 24, the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking to the Jews of His day, said this. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, and he is in italics, added by the translators, to give it a little bit more sense in our English language. But what he's saying is simply this. Unless you believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins. I am what? I am who? I am the same one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, pull off thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I am, and by my name Jehovah did I not appear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but by my name God Almighty. He is the one that is uncreated and eternal and self-existent in himself, my dear friends. And he said to the Jews of his day, unless you believe that I am the Jehovah of the Old Testament, you shall die in your sins. He is the one, my friends, in Deuteronomy 32:40, where Jehovah God is speaking there and says, and I lift my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Hallelujah, that's his name. He is that great Jehovah who can lift his name to heaven or his hand to heaven and say, I live forever. This is the record that God gave you, eternal life. And that life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the pre-existent Christ. If you turn with me to that first chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, you'll find there recorded for us the events that happened concerning Mary and Elizabeth. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's strange language right there. It's very strange. That holy man? No. There was a reason he did not say man. There was a reason that he did not say person. Because we believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both divine and human. But he only has one person. He's not two persons. He is two natures in one person. Therefore, it was that holy thing. For that holy thing born of Mary was taken up into the personality of the Son of God. And that's why we believe in the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that He did not sin, but that He could not sin. For my friends, His will, His human will, was so in harmony with His divine will, which was the predominant directing factor and controlling principle of his life, that it ever propelled him to that which was right. The impeccable Christ. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth. Here's what I want to get to now. She hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. 6 months, he said. She's been with child. And I'm telling you this now, Mary, because you will soon be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you will have a child conceived in you by the Holy Ghost. But listen now in chapter 1 of John, verse 30. This is John the Baptist speaking. John the Baptist, who was the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, conceived 6 months before the angel Gabriel ever got down to talk to Mary. John 1:30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me. How could he be before John when John was conceived 6 months before Jesus ever came upon the scene, my friends? When the angel came down and told that to Mary, he said, Elizabeth has already been expecting for 6 months. So how could Jesus be before John? Because he was before John. In the preexistence of his eternal nature, God has given us that record. But you know what? They start sharpening their knives up at my hometown around this time, so I'm not going to keep it too long. Man's got a record of Jesus Christ, too. Jesus Christ Superstar. I never saw that, but I heard some terrible things about it. You know, the latest thing I heard, it's been a little while back now, but they found the tomb of Jesus beside Mary Magdalene and a little baby that was supposed to be theirs. That's the world record of Jesus Christ. But my dear brother, that is not God's record. Listen, who was Mary Magdalene? Let's go through the Bible and look at a little bit about this woman's life, because I want you to see something here. I want to go to Luke chapter 8. First of all, in verse 1 and verse 2, where it tells us a little bit about Mary Magdalene. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Jesus came preaching the gospel, and the sovereign grace of God touched her heart and turned her life around, and she was a recipient of a great salvation. When you look at that third verse and you compare it with the 15th chapter of Mark and the 40th and 41st verses, you'll find that out of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, she followed him and ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if you turn with me to John chapter 19 and verse 25. Here was a sinner who was simply manifesting her gratitude for the great salvation and deliverance that Jesus Christ had brought into her life. John 19 and 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, beloved, she showed her gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ by her presence at the cross. When you turn to the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 61. Matthew 27 and 61 says, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Jesus' body taken down and put in that tomb. And who do we find outside? Mary Magdalene. Again, showing by her gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ how much she thanked Him and praised Him and was devoted for Him for having saved her life. Again, beloved, if you'll turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, you find this recorded. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. Because Mary was so devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, by her gratitude in ministering to Him, in being there at the cross, in being at the sepulchre, in giving her life to following Christ, He honored her by being the first one to see Him rise from the dead. Now, dear brethren, I tell you, evil men would take a beautiful story of saving grace and twist it into something ugly like they did in Jesus Christ Superstar. And like they did in this latest discovery of the so-called tomb of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene and the little baby. But I tell you, that's man's twisted record. It is not God's honest record of the truth of His Son as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, Mary was no more than what I was. A helpless, hopeless, lost sinner until Jesus came along. Were you ever there, my friends? Have you ever been there in that helpless place? In that hopeless place? In that lost place? Feeling like you were totally undone until Jesus came along in His precious gospel and He was shown to you and declared to you to be the friend of sinners. You know, I love that little scripture in Luke chapter 15 and verse 2. The Pharisees thought to cast a great reviling upon His name when they said, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Hallelujah, He does. Thank God He's still receiving sinners. And thank God He's still eating with sinners. My friends, Mary was no more than what I have been and what you have been. A sinner saved by grace who wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not uncommon, is it? I tell you, in the fifth chapter of Mark, there was a wild Gadarean whom Jesus came and clothed and put in His right mind. And when Jesus was going to go away, what did he want to do? He wanted to go with Jesus. That's strange, isn't it? No, I tell you, if your life has ever been touched by grace, it's not strange. You want to be where Jesus is. You want to follow the Christ of God. Mary, my friends, knew what it was according to that very precious verse the brothers already read this morning in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. And what do we do in that refuge? We lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, my dear brethren. Do you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of those Old Testament cities called the cities of refuge. And they all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. For my friends, every one of those cities, in the name when you began to study them, pointed to some beautiful person and character and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. She saw the Lord Jesus Christ as her city of refuge. And she fled to Him. And she laid hold upon the hope set before us. I tell you, there's still hope in a dying world today in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ is the hope to a dying world. And I thank God
Well, that's true today. Sinners still have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my city of refuge. And He's the glorious truth. Whatever doctrine, whatever teaching concerning His glorious person and His blessed work that the Bible unfolds, may we remain in it. May we stand in it. May we abide in it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.